Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. At Beth Emmanuel, we are proclaiming the vital gospel message of the coming kingdom of heaven. If you share our passion for this message, please support this teaching ministry and messianic community with your prayers and financial contributions. To learn how, click on the donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
All right, so I've got some words for you today regarding the season of tshuva. And in fact, as I told you, in the afternoons, we're studying a book called Path of the Just by Chaim Luzzatto, and he opens the book with this statement. Path of the Just is a work of ethical teaching. He opens the book with these words. He says, "I have written this work not to teach people what they do not know, but rather to remind them of what they already do know and clearly understand." And what he means by that is everybody knows the basics of ethical instruction. You know what it is to be a decent person and a decent human being and how a godly life. If you've been around the faith for any length of time, you should know the basics of godliness. And so it's not any new information that he's conveying to us in the book, but rather it's information that we need to hear again and again and again, even though it's old news. It's old news that we should be self-disciplined, you know, for example. It's old news that we should be humble. You know, everybody knows that we should be, a person should be humble, that a person should not be prideful. And yet, if we don't continually refresh ourselves in what that means, you know, we tend to drift away from it. And it struck me that the season of Elul that begins today, these 40 days leading up to the festival of the Day of Atonement, these 40 days of repentance, we call the season of repentance, they're kind of like Chaim Luzzatto's statement. It's not something new. I don't have something new to tell you, and the season of Elul doesn't have something new to tell you either. In fact, the season of Elul, the season of Teshuvah, is going to tell you exactly the same thing it told you last year. Repent and get your life straightened out, and do business with God, and get yourself ready for the high holidays. Nothing new, the same old, and in fact, you could say this is the same old message that we've been hearing from the beginning. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the message of the season of repentance. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Yeshua of Nazareth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So today, I invite you to join us on a great spiritual adventure, that's a good way to look at it, a 40-day journey based upon, I like to relate it to our Master's 40-day sojourn in the wilderness when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he faced off with the adversary and received divine revelation. So I'm inviting you to this spiritual adventure, and in this spiritual adventure we'll accomplish some big things and we'll accomplish some small things. And we'll find out that some of the small things are a lot bigger things than we thought they were. What do I mean by that? Well, I think you know what I mean by that. You know, there's small corrections that we can make in life that seem like, you know, insignificant sorts of things. Like one of my problems is here's a small correction. I was telling my kids, I'm interested this year, I'm primarily interested in cleaning the outside of the cup. You know, I think I've been paying too much attention to the inside of the cup, and the outside of the cup is getting a little mucked up. You know? So, you know, I know that's backwards of what our Master teaches, but here's what I mean by an example of that. You know, I'm very lazy about thanking God after I eat. You know, and I can say that out of a week, you know, there might be only a handful of meals that I actually stop to take the time to fulfill the mitzvah, to thank God for the meal. Instead, I drift off and start getting busy with other things, you know. I never think to myself, I'm just going to skip grace after meals, you know. But instead, I just kind of get lazy with it, right? It's a very small thing. But you can see if you correct some of these small things, they can have big impacts in your life. So this is a season for making small corrections that turn out to be big course changes. But it's primarily this is a season of making amends with our fellow human beings. As our master taught, if you are offering your sacrifice there in front of the altar, first go and be reconciled to your brother. Leave your sacrifice in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your sacrifice. You know that teaching. It's similar to what the sages say in Tractate Yoma, which is the volume of the Talmud about Yom Kippur. It says, God can forgive sins that have been committed against him on Yom Kippur, but God cannot forgive on behalf of others. I mean, think about that. That's a heavy thought. God can forgive sins that we've committed against him, but he cannot forgive on behalf of others. So in other words, if you've wronged your neighbor, he can't say, oh, well, you know, your neighbor Bob, he forgives you. He can't step into that role. He won't step into that role. He can't step into that role. And so, yes, we can seek forgiveness from Hashem, but if we haven't settled accounts with our neighbors, we haven't settled accounts with our fellow man. And this is why the Master teaches us that. He says, if you're offering your sacrifice before God, in other words, drawing near to God with your sacrifice, and then you remember, oh, my neighbor has something against me, leave it. Leave it. Leave the temple. Walk out of the temple. Leave your sacrifice. Walk out of the temple. Go find your neighbor and settle things with him. Make things right with him. Then come back here and offer your sacrifice. Then come deal with God. And that is the idea of these 40 days. You have 40 days to try to settle accounts with your neighbor, with your brother, with your sister, with your family members, or whoever it is that things have gotten out of whack with. And it's critically important that we settle these things before the high holidays. So we call this the season of repentance. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I realize that. It's a good time for self-improvement, though. You know, this is a good time to start a new diet or something, or break a bad habit, or it's a good time to quit smoking. You know, it's a good time to quit drinking, or whatever that vice is that you know you need to deal with. And you're like, yeah. Well, you know what? This is a great opportunity. God is giving you an opportunity to say, hey, let's put you back on path to a spiritually healthy and physically healthy lifestyle. It's a good time to seek God. Shneur Zalman used to teach that the king is in the field during Elul. What does that mean? Well, you know, it's this idea of like, if you wanted to get in before the king and see the king, it'd be very difficult. You would have to have some sort of special pass to get into the palace and some sort of permit. You know, you'd need permission. You can't just go walking in and say, hey, king, you know. But suppose that you were out in the field, and you're working in the field, and the king and his whole retinue comes walking along, just strolling along. He's checking out his kingdom. And then you have this opportunity. The king has come to me. The king, and now you can go and present your request before the king and know him face to face, personally. It's like this amazing opportunity. That's what he meant by that. That during the month of Elul, the king is in the field. In other words, this is an auspicious time to seek God and to seek God in repentance. I want to introduce you once again to the man you've known for all these years, Chaim Yedida Theophilus Lucky. Can you say that? Chaim Yedida Theophilus Lucky. And his other name is, he's got a few more names. I think his legal last name was Polak. But Chaim Yedida Theophilus Lucky, the Lucky is short for Lucius, I believe. He's a Jewish believer from the 19th century. Became a believer in the 19th century, and he began to publish a Hebrew periodical written by Jewish believers, for Jewish believers, titled Edut L'Yisrael, The Testimony to Israel. And the subtitle of it was Testifying About the Torah, the Manner, and All the Characteristics of the Nation. This was fabulous. It was a Zionist publication for Jewish believers in Yeshua, about Jewish believers in Yeshua, during the height of the Zionist movement. So I have it right here. It's all in Hebrew. You know, it's the whole thing is in Hebrew. And this isn't all of it, but this is all that we've been able to collect. And, you know, at Vine of David, we collect this kind of stuff. And so a couple years ago, Aaron translated an article from it. And the article was about the season of repentance and the month of Elul. So I did at the time, after Aaron had translated that, I read it to the congregation during the season of Elul. You remember that? I didn't think so. So I thought I would read some of it to you again. Yes. And you can get to know Chaim Yedida Theophilus Lucky with me. He's a big hero for me, Chaim Yedida Theophilus Lucky. He was always in trouble, this guy. Everywhere he went, he was in trouble. He was a troublemaker at the time. He's a big hero for me because he was, back in those days, Jewish believers in Jesus generally weren't Torah-keeping. But Chaim Yedida Theophilus Lucky was a traditionalist Jew. He was a Torah keeper. He really had a vision. He had a vision for the future of the Messianic Jewish movement. Anyway, so he's a big hero for me. Here's what he says about the month of Elul. He says, the word Elul, that's this month, Elul, Aleph, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, is an acrostic formed of four Hebrew words from Song of Songs. This is a rabbinic teaching. Combined together in this way. So in Song of Songs, it says, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is, and my beloved is mine. That's Song of Songs 6:3. And he says, okay, so what this is, if you take the first letter of each of those words, Ani, I, and the first letter, the first letter of l'dodi, which is a lamed, L'dodi, for my beloved, I am my beloved's. And the first letter of Vedodi, and my beloved, that's a Vav. And then the Lamed from the end of it, Li, is mine. You get Elul. That's the teaching. And he says, how appropriate are these words? So it is for the days of the month of Elul are the days of repentance, days of compassion and grace, days of love, days of intimacy. So say many early and late sages and scribes of blessed memory in their books. And if we repent, the Holy One, blessed is He, satiates us with grace. If a man declares, I am my beloved's, speaking to Hashem, it is certain that God will respond, and my beloved is mine. Let me explain to you this idea, where this idea came from, that there's 40 days of repentance. Because it's one of those things that you might think, well, where in the Bible does it say there's 40 days of repentance? And you're right. It doesn't say that in the Bible. It doesn't say there are 40 days of repentance, but nevertheless, we repent for 40 days before Yom Kippur. Why? Well, it's because in the Bible, Moses was up on Mount Sinai. You know this story. Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and Hashem said, you better go down and see what's going on down there. And so he goes down. He's got the Ten Commandments, two tablets of Ten Commandments. He goes down Mount Sinai. He sees the golden calf, and he throws down the tablets and breaks the tablets, right? And then he fasts for 40 days, and he says, you've committed a great sin. And then after 40 days, he says to the people of Israel, says, all right, the covenant's broken, but perhaps, maybe I can make atonement for you. And then he carves out two new stone tablets, and he goes back up Mount Sinai, and he fasts on Mount Sinai for 40 more days. So this is the third time he's fasted for 40 days in a row, right? But so, well, he had a sandwich between each one. Otherwise, it would say that he fasted for 80 or 120 days. But anyway, so he's back up on Mount Sinai, and he fasts for 40 more days. He's in the presence of God, and he's negotiating with God. You know the story? He's like, you know, if you found favor in me, you gotta have favor in your people Israel. And he's negotiating with God. He says, show me your glory. Show me who you really are. And God shows him his glory. I'm the Lord, gracious, compassionate, forgiving. And then he says, I will make a new covenant. I'll make a covenant with the house of Israel. It doesn't say new covenant, but it is a new covenant because they broke the old covenant with the golden calf. And then Moses, at the end of that 40 days, he comes back down with the tablets, and he's all glowy and sparkly. And he comes back down with the tablets and builds the tabernacle, and the relationship between God and Israel is restored. So that's the story of the 40 days. Because the day he comes back down is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That's when he shows back up. We'll talk about this at the Sunday night class tomorrow, but he shows back up, and he's all resplendent in glory, and it is the Day of Atonement. So 40 days before that is when he told Israel to repent, and he said, perhaps I can make atonement for you. So the annual 40 days of repentance that conclude on the Day of Atonement are a remembrance of that second 40-day sojourn up on the mountain. And the second 40 days that Moses spends on the mountain, if you think about this, here, come with me on a sort of like mystical interpretation. I believe the second 40 days that he spends on the mountain corresponds to this current era, this current period of time that we know as Messiah's absence, when we're in a period of exile and yearning and struggle and waiting and longing. We want to be united with Hashem, and the soul thirsts for God, but the Messiah tarries like Moses up on the mountain. But when he returns, he brings glad word of a new covenant and a restoration, and he comes resplendent in his Father's glory. So the 40 days of repentance, then, represent the 2,000 years since the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, during which Israel suffers and atones and repents. And we certainly have had that going. And during which we are waiting for the return of the king. So what does the Bible tell us to do to prepare for the kingdom? I mean, if we're waiting for the return of the king, that means we're preparing for the kingdom. What exactly should we be doing to prepare for the kingdom? Well, the gospel message is repent, because the kingdom is at hand. So the season of repentance corresponds to this period of repentance and preparation for the Messianic era, for the kingdom, 40 days. What do you do for 40 days of repentance? Well, here's one of the things we do. We don't do this because we don't have anyone coming out here to pray on weekday mornings, but let's say that all of you got super religious all of a sudden, and you all said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to go to my job anymore. I'm going to go to Beth Emmanuel every morning, and I'm going to pray the Shacharit morning prayers with the congregation during the weekdays. All right, so then there would be enough of us showing up that we would have to have services every day, like in an Orthodox synagogue. And we would have services in the mornings, and at the end of the prayers, at the end of the morning prayers, through these 40 days, well, no, 30 days, up to Rosh Hashanah, up to the day before Rosh Hashanah, up to the day before Rosh Hashanah, actually. Really, that last one was correct. So we'll say for the next 27 days, starting tomorrow, for the next 27, 28 days, whatever it is. After the morning prayers, we get out the shofar. You know what the shofar is? The big horn, the trumpet? I should have had a shofar up here. It'd be like show and tell. You get out the big shofar, the horn, and we blow it. Tekiya, Shevarim, Teruah, Tekiya. Four times. That was four blasts. You know the blasts? Tekiya. Shevarim. Teruah. No, I got that wrong, don't I? Oh, whatever. You got the idea. Tekiya, Shevarim, Teruah, Tekiya. Four times we blast the shofar. And why? Well, let's ask Chaim Yedidah Theophilus Lucky. Here was what Lucky says. He says, behold, the first day of the month of Elul has arrived with fanfare and noise, and it reminds us that it will not be many days until the day of judgment will come. The custom of Israel in the lands of the diaspora is to sound the shofar every single weekday, so Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, from the first of the month, that's tomorrow, until it is ended. Those who are very devout and pious also sit in fasting for many days. And this is a tradition from the mouth of the sages that on the first day of Elul, Moses was about to go back up Mount Sinai a second time after having broken the first tablets, and the Lord told Moses to sound the shofar across the entire camp to proclaim and announce that he was ascending the mountain a second time, lest they go astray again. And Moses did so. Therefore, We also blast the shofar every first day of Elul and continue to do so. And we blow the shofar each day until the end of the month, just as the children of Israel were sitting in fasting and affliction during this month. All right, so it's in commemoration of this blowing of the shofar in the days of Moses. Maimonides says, but what does the shofar say? What do those blasts really mean? And he explains, here's what they say. The shofar, if you could speak shofar, you know, call shofar. And if you could speak shofar, you would understand that those strange, sick animal sounds that you're hearing actually are words. And here's what the words they're saying. They're saying, wake up, you sleepers, from your sleep, and you slumberers from your slumber. Search your deeds and return, turn around in repentance. That's what the shofar says. And this is very similar to something that the Apostle Paul says. If you turn to Ephesians, we'll look in the Bible. How about that? Ephesians chapter 5, which is a text that it would be good to read Ephesians chapter 5 devotionally through this period of time. Because it's a text about godliness, about Musar, about ethical living, walking as children of light. He says in verse 8, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, and now he quotes, and this is so strange. Do you see that it's a quotation? He's quoting from something, but we don't know what he's quoting from. So he's quoting from a text we no longer have. But he quotes and he says, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Christ will shine on you. The Messiah will shine on you. Very much like what Maimonides said, the shofar is saying. Sounds like what the shofar said. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. And this is, I guess this is the message. This is what I'd like to take from this Ephesians passage. Wake up, but not only, you know, and Troy sings this very well, Ura, Ura, Ha Yashen. That's the song, you know that song, Ura, Ura, Ha Yashen, Vekuman. That's the passage. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. But what I'd like you to take from this is when he says, make the best use of the time. What would Chaim Luzzatto say? Alacrity. Make the best use of the time. Act with alacrity. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Seize the moment. Don't procrastinate. You know, literally it says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. All right. So here's what Chaim Yedidah Theophilus Lucky says. He says, when giving the reason for the commandment to blow the shofar, Rambam, the Maimonides, said that the sound is meant to be a warning to the heart. The sound of the blasting that goes out from the shofar is a voice with words. And the voice speaks to man who hurries down the wide way that leads to Sheol. It says, stand still for a moment. Consider your deeds, for the day of judgment is near. It is the voice that wakes up the sinner from the coma of sin. And this is what the High Holidays are all about. We go to sleep Your soul falls asleep. Your neshama falls asleep. It goes into this coma. It goes into this state of like numbness to the world. You know, there's like the world is sweeping over us, and we're just kind of going along with the flow. And the shofar wants to wake you up. You know, I'm sorry if you were nodding off there, but the shofar wants to wake you up and say, "Hey, examine your deeds. Stop. Take a look around. What are you doing? What are you doing?" You know, that's the voice of the shofar. So he says, Chaim Dira Theophilus Lucky says, "Before the high holidays, it is the duty of every son of Israel to wake himself up, to look around, to make an accounting of himself. How good is the counsel of the sages?" And he says, "For there is nothing in this world as good as repentance. Turn to the Lord your God. A voice is calling to you from above, and the gates of repentance are forever open." This is also a time, these 40 days, I take this tradition from the 40 days of our master in the wilderness, but I think it's quite correct, and you can find this theme in the liturgies for this period of time and the high holidays. This is a time for making war with our adversary, the devil. It's certainly a time when he makes war on us with heightened ferocity, because he wants more than anything for us to not repent, for us to be discouraged from the path of drawing near to God. So this is a period of time when we fight the devil. We get into spiritual warfare. And what does spiritual warfare look like here at Beth Emmanuel? How do we do spiritual warfare? Well, here's how you're going to do spiritual warfare. This is what we do. We pray, and we fast, and we petition God. That's how we fight our enemy, the adversary. And one of the greatest weapons in your arsenal of things to fight the adversary with is the book of Psalms. I don't know if you've ever done this, if you've ever prayed the Psalms, but that's what they're there for. They're there for you to pray. They are prayers from the Holy Temple. They're prayers of King David, and they're there as weapons for us in this battle. So we pick up the amount of psalms we're going to pray during this period of time. For example, we add Psalm 27. If you were here for the morning service, we close the service with Psalm 27. We're going to pray Psalm 27 for 50 days all the way to Hoshana Rabbah. And what is Psalm 27? That's the one that starts, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." Why Psalm 27? The Midrash explains, "The Lord is my light," that is on Rosh Hashanah, God is our light, "and my salvation," that is on Yom Kippur, he's the one who saves us. And then later in the Psalm it says, "For he will hide me in his shelter on the day of trouble," on the evil day. And the word for shelter is sukkah, so it says, "He will hide me in his sukkah on the day of trouble," that is during Sukkot. So it has these themes of the high holidays. Some have the custom, this is a Hasidic custom, of praying three additional psalms a day. I'll tell you how this works. It's pretty cool. You start tomorrow praying, adding to your prayers, in addition to whatever you normally would be praying, you would add Psalm 1, 2, and 3. Just three psalms. Doesn't take long. Add three psalms to your prayers. And then, the next day, add You move on to Psalm 4, 5, and 6. All right, doesn't take long. The next day, you move on to Psalm 7, 8, and 9, and so on and so on and so on, for all the way to Yom Kippur. And if you do that, by the time you come to the 40th day, by the time you come to Yom Kippur, you will have prayed 114 psalms. And then, on the Day of Atonement, when you have nothing to do except fast and feel sorry for yourself, you can pray the rest. There's only 36 more. Take you about half an hour, maybe an hour, to pray the rest of the Psalms. And you will have finished the whole book of Psalms. It's 150 Psalms prayed over these 40 days. So if anyone's interested in doing that, I made some little charts, little calendars for you to mark off your days and make sure you know which psalm you're on. And I have these available for you. All right, and so there's another psalm that we do, when we get to the high holidays, we'll pray Psalm 130, which is, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of wrongs, who could stand before you? As a watchman waits for the morning," that particular psalm, very beautiful. So that's one of the things we do. We fight the devil, and we fight the devil through prayer and praying the psalms and turning our lives back to Hashem. I want to close with a few more words of Chaim. Yedida Theophilus Lucky. He says, the words of Midrash Tanhuma will teach us. Anyone who wants to do repentance for himself must look upon the Son of David, who is the ruler and the governor of the peoples. For the Lord said in Isaiah 55, verse 4, "Behold, I have appointed him as a witness to the peoples." When the Holy One, blessed is He, created repentance, He shone a light from Him. And it was a light gleaming from one end of the universe to the opposite. This light is a true light that comes into the world to illuminate every man. He's quoting from John now. It is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. By means of repentance, which is compared to water, as it says in Lamentations, "Pour out your heart like water," the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the water draws itself near and comes. And the Spirit of God that hovered over the waters is the Spirit of Messiah, of which it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him." I take these words to heart. Even if our iniquities have gone above our heads and our guilt has grown as high as heaven, the Holy One, blessed be He, declares, "Do not fear. Even if your sins are stacked up to the firmament, if you repent, I will forgive. If you repent, I will receive you not only into the lower levels of heaven, but even up to the throne of glory." The final redemption is dependent upon nothing but repentance. "All that I want from you," says the Holy One, blessed be He, "is that you would seek me and live." The Lord is righteous, loving righteous deeds, and there is no end to His compassion. That which He promised, He will do. He will surely show compassion, as He said, "For the Lord is near to all those who call upon Him in truth." Please, my beloved, my brothers, have pity on your days and on your nights, and redeem the time, he says. And here he's obviously quoting from that same passage in Ephesians 5. Redeem the time. Behold, our beloved sends his hand through the opening. The days of repentance are days of intimacy and grace. May we also cry out, "Ani Ladodi, I am my beloved's." And may we take the word of the Lord as a lamp for our feet. And may we walk in the way and in the truth and in the life. And then our salvation will come quickly.
Take on my yoke and learn from me. And find rest for your soul.